JS 61, 1-3. I'll refer to them as we go along. In these verses, we have a brief outline of three dispensations: grace, judgment, and righteousness, or the year of liberty, the day of vengeance, and the glorious reign of Christ. Who is the preacher in these verses who makes the claim that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach? If you were to turn to Luke chapter 4, you would find the Lord Jesus Christ applying these words to himself. Yes, he is the preacher, one that will pay you to listen to. Notice his message, good tidings. Good news is necessary and welcome when something is wrong. And why should the Son of God need the anointing of the Spirit of the Father for the declaration of such tidings? Surely the tidings must be good and of eternal importance to all who hear them when Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are so deeply interested in its proclamation, and when the power of the triune God is needed to give it effect. What is the good news, and why is it necessary? Listen, healing for the brokenhearted. Yes, the gospel is a message for broken hearts. Why is it that hearts are broken? Why are so many disheartened? There must be something of a powerful nature at work breaking all these hearts, hopes, and homes. Yes, there is. Sin and Satan. These break and crush, but thank God Christ Jesus makes, heals, and hushes the hearts of men. All that Christ is, has, and does is for your heart's good. His word and work can heal the broken in heart and bind up their wounds. Another point in his message is liberty for the captives. Christ alone has the right and power to make such a proclamation. Who are the captives? Those who are enthralled by influences that delude and destroy. Those who are fettered by sin and Satan. Christ has the power to break the prison bars. By his death and resurrection, he has broken every barrier down and conquered every foe. Another point in the message is sight for the blind. Man is blinded by sin and the glitter and glamour of the world to eternal verities. In the dark as to God's love and his judgment upon sin, Christ, the light of the world, will open your spiritual eyes. Another thing we see in this passage is grace for all. Christ came to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Here we see the time and conditions of man's acceptance with God, fixed by the Lord Jesus. This day of grace, extending from his ascension until he comes again, is the time for you to be saved, or we can reduce it to your brief span of life, which may soon end. The condition is, believe the glad tidings, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, that he died and rose again, that salvation might be yours. He died that you might live, and lives now that you might not die. Christ did not finish the reading of this passage in Luke 4. He closed the book, omitting the day of vengeance of our God. Why did he do that? Because that is future and will follow this day of grace. When this day of grace closes, then he will reopen the book and usher in the day of vengeance of our God. After the day of vengeance on earth will come the kingdom of Christ on the earth. And no doubt verse 3 describes Israel's condition and God's dealings with them in that day. And I'm going to read, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. In this verse, the prophet in poetic words gives us a foregleam of the Lord Jesus, the man of sorrows presenting himself as the transformer of sorrow into joy for those plunged into deep grief and defeat. Christ not only banishes the dark things of life, but produces opposite blessings. Notice those words, to give unto them beauty for ashes. Ashes in Old Testament days were a symbol of repentance and mourning. Am I speaking to someone who is experiencing the ashes of guilt and condemnation? Your conscience is disturbed by words and deeds of the past. You feel your guilt and know that the deeds and seeds you have sown may yield their unpleasant harvest. The Lord Jesus offers you the beauty of grace for the ashes of guilt. His blood was shed to cleanse away your sin, to purge your guilt. May the beauty of his pardon be your happy possession this very moment. Christ also offers to you the beauty of victory for the ashes of defeat. Often in olden times, kings returned from defeat in battle with ashes upon their head. Who among us has not sat upon the ash heap of shameful defeat? We have made hasty decisions, plunging ourselves into perplexity, confusion, sorrow, and despair. We have yielded to besetting infirmities, causing us to fall before God in deep contrition of soul. We have fought hard and struggled desperately to conquer sin, only to reach the place of shameful defeat. Am I speaking to one now who is defeated and discouraged? Then listen, dear soul. Christ will give you the beauty of triumph for the ashes of defeat. Paul said, what many have said since, O wretched man that I am. But he also said, thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory. Victory can be yours through our Lord Jesus Christ, more than a conqueror through him who loved us. Ashes were a symbol of grief and sorrow. You remember when Job sat on the ash heap, he could cry no more, so sat in silent sorrow. Women in olden days who had lost their treasures or all that was dear to them on earth used to sprinkle ashes on their doorsteps, indicating that emptiness and desolation reigned within. Am I speaking to any such lonely and sorrowing ones this morning? Then remember, the Lord Jesus will give you the beauty of comfort for ashes of sorrow, not by taking away the sorrow necessarily, but by being with you in it. He gives us a source of joy independent of external circumstances. The secret of deep, unchanging joy is the consciousness of Christ's presence and the assurance of his unchanging love and strong hand and the infinite wisdom of a God who cares. The Christian may have sorrow, but he can rejoice in it, for he learns the heart of his Savior and knows also, although weeping may endure for a night, joy cometh in the morning, a morning without a cloud of grief in its sky. Seeing our sorrows in the light of all things working together for good takes the sting out of the stab and wipes the poison from the arrow and removes the bitterness from the cup, as one has well said, a grief accepted as the will of God is a conquered grief. Then again, ashes have to do with death. They speak of human frailty, how frail man is. In a few years, all that will be left of our bodies is a handful of dust and ashes. That's if the Lord does not come for those of us who are saved. When he comes, the ashes of the redeemed will take on the beauty of his glory, the ashes of death replaced by resurrection and life. Is yours a desolate home? Have you been robbed of a lovely child, a strong-hearted husband, a beloved wife, a companion of a lifetime? Have those bodies you loved, embraced, and cared for gone to ashes? Do the words you heard at the graveside still linger in your memory, dust to dust, ashes to ashes? May you in your loneliness take courage and comfort for some glad day the ashes of your loved one, if that one fell asleep in Christ, will be touched by his mighty power, and that body that once lived on earth shall be changed into the beauty and glory of his own glorious body. All who are saved, washed in the blood of Christ, will one day exchange the ashes of earth for the beauty of heaven, mourning for melody, sadness exchanged for eternal happiness. Instead of the spirit of heaviness, there will be the garment of praise. Praise unto him who made all blessings possible by his death, burial, and resurrection, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, dear listener, do you know him? If not, why not?